I want to read a psalm now, and it's psalm number 4. It's a psalm written by David. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin when you are on your beds. Search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I have chosen that psalm because it fits in with the story of a remarkable lady, which we'll be looking at shortly. It was a lady who had confidence in God and found peace. I thought it fitting as Mother's Day that we would look at this lady, one of the, shall we say, perhaps famous ladies in the Bible. And I say, we will look at that shortly. Come to our reading now, which comes from the first book of Samuel and chapter 1. It's on page 271 in the chapel Bibles. They won't be on the screen this morning, so you need to look to the Bibles. It's a long reading. It's going to read the whole of the chapter. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hadah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favour in your eyes." Then she went on her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. So, Hannah. It's Mother's Day, of course, and it's a day presents the mothers are traditionally given. And it said that at one time servants were given an afternoon off to visit their home with a gift for their mother, which I think they'd need to live fairly close if they had an afternoon off, and they would probably have to walk anyway. But that's what I've read. But what is a mother? Well, the obvious answer, of course, is a woman who has given birth to a child. But what is a mother? Surely it is one who is prepared to do the best for the child in her care, even to the point of sacrificing her own needs for the good of the child. And Hannah was one such mother. Having been childless for so many years, she finally had the son she craved for. But she was prepared to let her son go. As with all the scripture, there are lessons to be learnt. And chapter 1 of Samuel, 1 Samuel is not just an account of the events of that time, but is there for our learning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 tell us this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And also, of course, the woman of God. So let us briefly look at this passage. As we read, there was a certain man whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives, one with children, the other barren. He was also a godly man, because year after year this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. So he was a godly man. But just as a note of interest, of course, he had two wives. Polygamy was practiced even by godly men in ancient times, although it was not the original divine intention, as we can read in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 23 and 24. This is Adam. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." It's quite clear that the marriage is one man, one woman. And a note of interest, of course, it was considered a disgrace for a married woman to be childless, and even her own family would hold her in disgrace. But of course, Elkanah was a man who showed favouritism to Hannah, because as we read in verse 5, he gave her a double portion when he distributed the sacrificed meat. We read, didn't we, that he loved Hannah. And it seems likely that Hannah was Elkanah's first wife. But as she was barren, he took Peninnah as a second wife to give him a male heir, which was of great importance in that culture and age. And although it wasn't God's plan and purpose for man to have more than one wife, we can see that God is a God of mercy and a God of grace, and he forgives even our sins. Of course, his favouritism caused Peninnah to provoke Hannah, provoke her so much that she was in tears. And it was to the point where she would not eat. Verse 7, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her, till she wept and would not eat. Because not only was she considered a disgrace, but she had the taunts of Peninnah to contend with. But Hannah did the best thing possible. She prayed to the Lord. Verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. It was a fervent prayer, straight from the heart. She wept much, and it was a prayer showing great faith. But not only does she pray, but she makes this vow that if God gives her a son, she will give him to the Lord, dedicated for his service. Verses 11 to 13. And she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. A very deep and dedicated prayer there. She made this vow to the Lord that if he would give her a son, then she would give him back to the Lord. Of course, we read that Eli, the priest, thinking her to be drunk, confronts her. His mistake suggests that in those days it was not uncommon for drunken people to enter into the sanctuary. But then we have Hannah's reply, don't we, in verses 15 and 16. "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." So with Eli's blessing, Hannah goes on her way. Having left her problem with the Lord, she was no longer sad. Verse 18, she said, "May your servant find favour in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. And in verse 20, of course, we read that in due course, God answered Hannah's prayer. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And so we read in verse 19 that God remembered Hannah. And in the Old Testament, to remember means to take appropriate action. Doesn't mean just to remember someone. We can remember an event. We can remember a person. But in the Old Testament, to remember meant to take appropriate action. And so Hannah bore that son that she so desperately craved. And true to her vow, Hannah, after weaning the child, gives him to the Lord. Verse 28. "So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And just of a matter of interest, normally the firstborn would be offered to the Lord, but then a sacrifice would be substituted for that child and it would be taken back home. But not so with Hannah. She kept her vow and she left her son there to serve the Lord. And, you know, the Lord was gracious to Hannah. For we read in chapter 2 of verse 21 that he blessed her with 3 sons and 2 daughters. So that, indeed, she had this great blessing. She was faithful to the Lord. The Lord had been faithful to her. She was faithful to the Lord and she received this great blessing. We read that Samuel continued to grow in stature and favour with the Lord and with men. He was a judge and a prophet. In fact, he would be the one to anoint Saul as Israel's first king. But that is another story. We're focused on Hannah this morning. So what might we learn from this passage? Well, firstly, I believe that to act out of God's will brings problems, both corporately and individually. As we read, God's plan for marriage was one man and one woman. And Elkanah, perhaps out of his desperation for a male heir, took a second wife, Peninnah. But there again, God was merciful and he ended up indeed with a son and an heir by his first wife. Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion of meat, which caused Peninnah to provoke Hannah to the point of tears. And so Elkanah, acting out of God's will, brought trouble into the family, but especially to Hannah, the one he loved. And that's a cautionary note there, isn't it? We can indeed and perhaps sometimes, if we're not careful, hurt the one that we love. But here we have this reminder that if we act contrary to God's will, then we must expect trouble. We can expect things to go wrong. Second point I'd like to make is that, and I'm sure we know this one, fervent prayer brings results. As James tells us in chapter 5 and verse 16, the effective fervent prayer avails much. And Hannah proved this to be right, didn't she? Because Hannah's was a fervent prayer, a prayer right from the heart, washed in her tears. And it was a prayer showing true faith. And as we see from this passage of Scripture, God answers true, heartfelt prayer. Thirdly, we need to leave our problems with the Lord, which I'm sure we know. But I wonder, do you sometimes have trouble leaving your problems with the Lord? I must confess that sometimes I do. I'll pray about something to leave with the Lord, and 10 minutes later it's back in my head. I haven't truly left it with the Lord. But what a wonderful example Hannah is. Remember that she prayed this fervent prayer. Then Eli the priest blesses her and prays for her. So she went on her way. She ate something and she was no longer downcast. She had truly left her problem with the Lord. And the prayer is, may he enable us to do the same. Fourthly, of course, God's timing is always right. In this day and age, people, it seems, want instant results, even results yesterday. And we perhaps can be a bit like this. We can get a bit impatient, can't we? Waiting for that answer from the Lord. And but we need to be patient and wait upon the Lord God. I think I've told you this before. At Ireland and myself, we prayed for 14 years for my father to become a Christian, and he did when he was 80 years old. So we need to be patient. God will answer our prayers in due time. He in his wisdom knows when the time is right. Hannah had this long wait for her first son, but he was God's chosen choice to oversee great changes in Israel, from judges to their first king. The Jews had rebelled against God. No wonder did they want judges. They wanted a king like the rest of the nations. And God said, well, if you want a king, you can have a king. But God knew what trouble that would bring upon the land. But nevertheless, Saul was anointed by Samuel, was that first thing. So Samuel came into the world at just the right time for God's plan and God's purposes. Of course, if you remember, we have another example, don't we, when Esther was called to approach the king when the Jews had been under great threat from annihilation. Mordecai, who had brought her up as his own, said these words, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And Esther did go before the king, and the Jews were saved. Again, God's timing was perfect. So we can be confident that God's timing is always right. And perhaps the best one is that Jesus, at just the right time, came into the world to save sinners. Again, God's timing, perfect, right to the very second, at just the right time. Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you and like me. Fifth point I'd like to make is we need to remember to praise the Lord for an answered prayer, just as Hannah did in chapter 2. I'll just read the first two verses of that. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." A lovely prayer there from Hannah. She has been delivered. She has been delivered from those who saw her as a childless disgrace. She's been delivered from the taunts of Peninnah. She has borne a son. And her response was, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." That heart borne down with sorrow, that heart that prayed to God, is now a heart that rejoices in the Lord. He is the Holy One. He is in control. He is a solid rock. He is a deliverer, not only from those who oppose us, but delivers us from our sin. We too, like Hannah, need to remember who God is, the solid rock that we can depend on. Let us follow the example of this remarkable mother. But again, I wonder, do you know this morning, has the Lord Jesus Christ delivered you from your sin? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, remembering that he went to that cross of Calvary, shed that precious blood, that we might be freed from our sin, that we might once again have fellowship with God our Father? And it's never too late. You know, you can come this morning, this very second. God's timing is always right. So, again, I say, let us follow the example of this remarkable woman. Let us come before the Lord our God with our prayers, and we can expect deliverance. We can expect our prayers to be answered, perhaps not immediately, but at just the right time. We thank you, our Lord and our God. You are indeed a faithful God. You are the one that we can trust and put our faith in, Lord. We also need to remember you're the one that we need to obey. And so now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and forevermore. Amen.